Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf mem beis. We're starting the new perek, Eilu Treifos. And as you all know, starting from today and for the next while, we're going to be talking about the different parts of the animal's body and which things cause an animal to become a treifa and which things do not. Our Mishnah begins, it doesn't tell us how many, but we'll see in Yetchim in the Gemara that we list all together 18 treifos per behema, 18 separate treifos. Our Mishnah at the very tail end also discusses oif, but the real listing of the eilu treifos by oif is not in our Mishnah, it's a Mishnah later on, which you're going to learn in Miyat Hashem in the Nun, in Aleph, in Beis, in Yimel, in Dalit, sometime later on, as we'll see. In the meantime, we start the Mishnah, eilu treifos by behema, the following constitute treifos by behema. Nekuvas Aveshet, that we've had already numerous times, that in the esophagus, the food pipe, there's a little hole. And Rashi tells us, Kol Nekev B'mashehu. We're going to have in our Mishnah 10 separate treifos, all involving small holes. Amashu. Next one is Psukas HaGegeres, that's the windpipe, otherwise known as the trachea. If it has Psuka, Psuka means that it's split halfway until Mechza. Once it goes, over Mechza. Once it's 51% Psuka, then it is considered to be treif. But if it's only up to 50%, it's okay. Because when it comes to the... Yes, exactly right. When it comes to the Kana, it is apparently it's very, very malleable, and the two sides of the Kana that have been split down the middle, they apparently merge sufficiently to keep the person or keep the animal alive. So once it's 51% psuka, then it's treif. Nikiv krum shel moyach. That means that in the membrane that is surrounding the brain inside the head, there is a hole. Once again, that is treif. Nikiv halev. If in the heart there happens to be a hole, then it depends. If it's just a superficial hole at the top, this is gunished. But if it goes la base chaloloi, it's a deep hole that goes into the inner chambers of the heart that causes it to be a treif. Nishbra hashedra benifsek hachut shela. The shedra, of course, is the spine. The chut is the spinal cord. So it says that if the outside spine has a break in it that causes the cord to be nifsak, nifsak as we had before by psukas hageris, it means it got cut 51%, then once again that is a treifa. Nitel hakoved, if the liver has been removed, unfortunately, nothing, then it is a treifa. Mashma from our Mishnah, that if it's just even a small little drop of the liver left, it's okay because it can reconstitute itself and fill up and become once again a bekovedika kovet. But in the meantime, it's a kovet which is little gunished. If it's only nishtair himenu klum, then it is a treifa. Horeya shenikva oishe chaseira. If you have a reya, that's the lungs, shenikva where there's a hole, oishe chaseira or there's a piece missing, once again, that is a treifa. Rashi says that the Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference between nikva and chaser? Mitchum will get to that shortly. Reb Shimon Oimer, ad shetinokiv the beisas and poines. It's not enough that it has just a very superficial type of hole, but rather it has to go deep into the simpoinois. Simpoinois are called the bronchi. And therefore, if it goes deep into those, then that is the type of nekiv that makes the treif. So Reb Shimon holds that reya is similar to the lave. Superficial holes is gunish, it's got to go to the inner sanctum, the inner chambers. So by the lave, it's called beis chalolai. In the case of the rei, it's called simpoinis, which are bronchi. Right, the nikva hakeva. Now, as we'll see, Mechem, the Mishnah, when you're talking about kosher animals, they typically have four stomachs all together. One is called the keva, one is called the keres, and the other two are the hemsis and the beis hakoisois. Four all together. They are all connected one with the other, and they are all part of the digestive system of the animal, and the food goes from one stomach into the next, and finally the fourth one. Rashi says that the derech of the four is, it starts in the beis hakoisois, it goes to the hemsis, from the hemsis into the keva, from the keva into the dakin. Dakin are the intestines. Now, in terms of what the specific names in English, each one of them has a name, Gesundheit, with which I personally am not particularly familiar. I'm not sure that you are familiar. So, for instance, the keva is called the abomasum. How do you spell abomasum? A-B-O-M-A-S-U-M. That is the name of the keva. When does the keva make a tarfus? When it has a neck, when it has a hole in it. Now, for those of you that are interested exactly how these four stomachs work, so then the art scroll gives us a very basic discussion. I'm reading now from footnote 8 here of the art scroll. The digestive system of kosher animals, which are ruminants, has four stomachs. Grasses are briefly chewed and then swallowed, passing into the keres. And they go into the keres. Keres is known as the paunch, P-A-U-N-C-H, which is like a large storage sack where preliminary digestion, especially by bacterial action, occurs. So this occurs in the keres. That's where the grasses come in initially. From the paunch, the food moves into the beis hakoisos. Beis hakoisos is what's called in fancy English the reticulum, the lining of which is honeycombed by ridges and deep pits or cups. In the reticulum, the food is softened and made into small ball-shaped masses called cuds. The cuds are regurgitated at will to be leisurely re-chewed. And that's what we talk about, a kosher animal chews its cud. The cuds have gone down from the mouth into the keres, into the beis hakoisos, and then the animal decides, I want to regurgitate, and he regurgitates at will, and it goes all the way back into the mouth, and then the animal chews again. After thorough chewing of the cud, the food is again swallowed, second time, this time passing through the paunch, that's the keres, and the reticulum, that's the beis hakoisos, into the hemsis. The hemsis is fancy English, omasum, O-M-A-S-U-M, and then into the keva, known as the moor or the abomasum, which contains gastric juices. From there, the food passes to the dakin, the intestines, where digestion is completed. Isn't this unbelievable? Every time an animal eats, four different stomachs, yes, and the digestive system with a bacterial action, and then it regurgitates, and it goes up, and it goes back.
Molecular.
Exactly.
Every kosher animal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you want to take a look, maybe you can read the whole thing. It's in footnote 8. Yeah. Yes?
Every kosher animal has a system?
That has a system, yes.
Like a deer also?
Well, that's already not an animal. That's already a beast. Right. But the answer is, I think you're right.
You mean cattle, amongst cattle?
Amongst cattle,
domesticated sheep,
gates,
and
goats, and sheep. All kosher animals have this same type of... So
how about a koi?
A koi? A koi is a samakai.
It's two stomachs.
Okay, anyway, so it's, you know, if you wanted to go and build a machine that has all of these different parts, that would go and work one with the other, probably cost you $1 million, and it would break down, and you'd probably have to go and recharge it every 24 hours or whatever. Because Baruch Hu makes it, everything should go.
No one teaches the animal how to do this. It does it does apitava.
All automatically. Right. So I think I may have told you this story. I have a good friend in Muncie by the name of Avram Warsh. Needs a refuah shleimah, as I said. So he told me he has a cousin by the name of Usher Eckstein. The name Usher Eckstein may be familiar to you because if you ever look carefully at the hashgachos on the Haimisha products, one of them is from Belz, and he, Usher Eckstein, is the Rabbi Machshir for Belz. Anyway, because of that, he travels frequently to Japan and to China and India and these places where they manufacture a lot of the ingredients that are in our daily foods. So this Usher Eckstein said about himself that about 6-7 months ago, he was traveling back from the Orient, coming back to New York, and at the airport, one of the TSA agents said to him, "You look like a rabbi." "Yes." rabbis know and see miracles. Tell me, Rabbi, when's the last time you saw a miracle? He said, 20 minutes ago. 20 minutes ago? On the plane there was a miracle? Yes. What was the miracle? I was able to go to the bathroom. And the TSA agent looked at him and said, Rabbi, you know your stuff. It really is a miracle. So apparently he had his own gastric whatever problems, and he knew what the miracle it is, that everything, Baruch Hashem, goes down normally, and you don't have holes and you don't have problems, and it all works, and we don't even think about it. Every single day, one urinates, one defecates, and all that goes, and you eat three times a day, and you wonder to yourself, what happened? All it could be, Baruch does it.
Miracle. We don't. Miracle.
Exactly. Umafli la'asois. That's why we say taka mafli, that it's a pellet. It's amazing what Hashem does. We take it all for granted. Anyway, let's continue on. So the Mishnah says, Vaita. So we had Nikva HaKeva. Keva is the first of those four of the stomachs. And Nikva HaMora, or there's a hole in the Mora. Mora is the gallbladder. Nikva Adakit, if there's a hole in the intestines. HaKeres, again, that's one of the four of the stomachs. HaKeres HaPanimius, Shenikva, Oy Shenikra Roiv HaChitzoina. When it comes to the keres, part of it is more panemius, it's more deeply embedded in the animal, and part of it is more to the outside. We'll learn more about the exact anatomy of the animal. Very often when it says panemius, it means that part of it is covered over by the rib cage. Whether that is the case over here or not, I'm not sure. But in Yat Hashem, as we go through the perek, we're going to go through each one of the anatomical manifestations of the body of the animal. Anyway, so that part which is panemius shenikvah is just a hole, that's already problematic and becomes a trefa, or shenikvah roi vachitzoina, that part which is more the outer part of the keres in the stomach, in the body of the animal, there it's only a trefa, not with a small nekev, but rather if roiv of it is torn. Oh, then it becomes a problematic in terms of a trefa. Rabbi Yehuda, Oim Rabbi Yehuda says it really depends on the size of the animal. Hagdoila is a tefach, v'haktana is beruba. So Rashi says, don't make the mistake that we're differentiating between a behema gasa and a behema daka. We're talking about in the behema gasa variety, meaning among cows, you have, of course, a large cow or a large ox. That's the gedoila. And the ketoina, the kind that we're referring to, is an egel or an egla. Like the egel, remember that Klal Yisrael sinned, egel, a small calf. So when you're talking about a large cow, what is the shear? It's not nikra roiva chitzoina, but nikra a tefach of the chitzoina. That would already make it right. By the katana, that is right. So Rabbi Yehuda partially disagrees with the Tana Kama.
But one animal is bigger, one smaller.
Exactly.
Easy for a proportion.
Good. Beautiful, beautiful. And we continue on. The hemsis of besa koisos, those are the final two of the four stomachs that we discussed. The reason why the besa koisos is called the besa koisos, we'll see eventually pictures that in the inside of this animal, you look on the exterior of the inside skin of the animal. In other words, take the besa koisos, cut it open, and you'll see that it has on it, in the basar, it looks like little goblets, one next to each other, like little Brumfen Glazlich, one next to each other, small little cups, one next to each other, and that's how it got the...
Like a hive.
A hive?
Like a honeycomb of a beehive.
Yeah, that looks like the same thing inside.
That's the pictures I've seen, yeah.
Okay, good, then fine. Shkoyer, thank you. But Baruch Hashem, over here, there are no bees that you don't have to worry about a sting. So, the Pesach Koyz Shenik for the chutz, if they had a whole lechutz, lechutz means towards the outside. What means towards the outside? The hemsis and besa koisis are stuck together and they have a common wall in between them. Even if there's a hole in that wall, since it's an internal wall, that doesn't make it into a trefa. If, however, one of the outside walls of the hemsis and besa koisis has a hole in it, oh, that is a trefa, because that means that part of what's inside can leak and come out, and it could be grace aturis. However, if there is a leak within the hemsis basic koisis, because the joining wall has a hole in it, that doesn't bother me that much, because the food that the animal eats sloshes back and forth from the hemsis basic koisis. So if there's a bigger hole or smaller hole, that's not a problem. But if there's a hole in the outside wall, that is problematic. That becomes a treifa. Nafla menagag. What happens if an animal fell off a roof and fell down onto the floor? It has the status of a treifa. However, by this treifa, there are two ways of solving the issue. What means solving the issue? So Rashi already points out, if an animal falls down from a roof and you shechted it immediately, then it has a din of a treifa, even if we do not see any breakage of bones, even if loy nisrasku evoreha. And the reason is, says Rashi, this is already
halacha. The bema is okay.
Exactly. Is halacha l'moish misinai, an animal falls down, you shechted it immediately without any inspection, it's treifa. However, what you can do is, number one, after the animal falls down, you pick the animal up and say, animal, Bahaima, please walk Dalet Amis, and it walks, you know, naturally and normally, then it's okay.
It's okay.
It's only if you shacht it after it fell and you don't pick it up, you don't do anything. There's another
check. There's
another check. The other check is, if you don't go and immediately stand the Bahaima up, but rather you let the Bahaima lie on the ground for the next 24 hours, and the animal continues to live that 24 hours, and you shacht it, then it's kosher. Just by the fact that it continued to survive, it's a simon that it was able to live.
So if you have a broken leg, it's kosher.
All right, a broken leg is not considered to be a treifa. Broken leg could be problematic in terms of a carbon, because it's a bal mum. However, for kashrus purposes, it can have one broken leg, a second broken leg. That does not cause it to become a treifa. We're going to talk about it a little bit more on the Amid Beis in Yetzirah. The next case, Nishtaba Roiv Tzaloiseha. Tzalois are the ribs, and the ribs are attached to a rib cage. Lahavdil, just like an individual, behemoths also have ribs. And if you look at the picture over here, you'll see it has 13 or 14 ribs. So if Roiv of those are broken, then the animal is a treifa. Now exactly where they are broken, are they broken in the middle?
Most of the rib, Rov Tzaloteh.
Exactly, Rov Tzaloteh, exactly.
Have your picture. Rov on one side or Rov on both?
That's going to be discussion in the Gemara. Whether or not the Rov Tzaloteh, they're broken on just one side or the other side, right? Because he goes over the middle. Where do the
majority?
Shkoyach. Where do the ribs come from? The rib cage comes from the spine. So therefore, where's the spine of the animal? Down the middle of the animal. Therefore, you have the rib cage on both the right and the left side of the animal. So there'll be a discussion in the Gemara when we say roiv. Do we mean roiv of one side or roiv of both sides? Mechem, we'll get to that. Ovaita, the final one in the Mishnah of the 18 is drusas hazi'ev. Drusas hazi'ev means, ze'ev, as you know, is a wolf. And if a wolf jumps on an animal with its claws, the claws have in them, says Rashi, a venom. They have in them an eris.
Very important with the wolf because it's worse than a snake. Because the snake will affect it, then the wolf give you infection.
Ah.
Yes, it's
very good. Okay, so now Rashi refers to the wolf as having in its claws an eris. Eris is in English venom, which you usually associate with a snake and not with a wolf. So now the question is, does a wolf really have venom like a snake has? I'm not an expert, but I'm assuming the answer is no, and that the eris that we're talking about is, like we just heard from Reb Shulam, that in the claws there could be bacteria and other germs, and when the animal goes and puts its claws, dores, into a larger or smaller animal, it leaves some of that bacteria behind with the holes that it's making, so therefore it can cause infections and the animal can die. Anyway, so therefore, Drusas as the Eiv is the final one of the 18. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it depends. Drusas as the Eiv, Bedaka, if you're talking about an animal which is a daka, that means sheep or goats, yes, the amount of bacteria and venom that they have in their claws, that's a goner, this daka. However, if you're talking about agasa, a big cow, a big ox, then as the Eiv does not cause automatic death and therefore becomes a dreifa. Only in Drusus Ari, and a lion would be a treifa by a gasa. And although our Mishnah is not talking about oifois, but since we spoke about Drusa, the Mishnah concludes that the same thing applies to birds. Udrusas, Drusas hanetz ba'oif hadak, Udrusas hagas ba'oif hagas. Nets and the gas, both are terms that are referring to birds which are like vultures. and the nets, that vulture can go and do a drusa and an oifadak. Oifadak, says Rashi, means a klein shigir, like you have the kabonis doves, right? You have toinum bin a yoina, so Rashi says yoinim, and tziporim. Tziporim are little pigeons. So if you have a pigeon or you have a dove, and you had a net, one of these vultures that goes and grabs it with the claws and then lets go of it, you have to assume that it's a treifa. When you're talking about oif hagas, then it's drusas hagas. What's an oif hagas? Rashi says, avozois v'tarnegoylem. We all know what tarnegoylem are. Those, of course, are chickens or roosters. The question is, what are avozois? Anybody have a guess? Avozois?
Goose, duck.
Oh, so many, many, many years ago, when we had a share, I said that avozois are a duck, a kachka, that family learned in Yiddish. So, Munyu Bakenrod Tzchon Levrucha passed by the shear, and afterwards he corrected me and he said, No. He says, avozois are a gans. Gans means a goose. A duck is a bar avza. So, whenever you see in the Gemara the word avza, that's a goose, a gans. And when you see a bar avza, that's a duck or a kachka. So sometimes you have to, sometimes the article says bar avza, they also say a young goose. But l'choyre bar avza, not a young goose, but rather it's a duck. Barburim, slavidogim.
Drake?
Yeah. Anyway, so avodis are geese and tarnegoylem are chickens. So if you have the drusas hagas and goes and grabs one of those, then you have a problem of a drusa by oifes.
And that's a twins, is in our twins, it's a hawk.
A hawk? Okay.
No, I once saw my terrace. I once saw a pigeon. I saw a hawk came. Blood spilled from it and grabbed it. It wasn't a Klenchka pigeon. It was one of these big pigeons we see, Gesunta New York pigeons.
Very good.
He's saying that Barburim Basar V'Dajim.
Exactly.
On the Shabbos, they used to say.
Okay, so let's finish off the Mishnah now. Mishnah says, Zahaklal, this is the general rule. Why are all of the 18 which we just enumerated considered to be treifas? Because kol she'ein kamoya chaya. Any type of animal that has a situation like those that we have just enumerated cannot live. Therefore, it has a status of a treifa. It cannot live. Now, what does it mean, it cannot live? Our Gemara doesn't discuss it today, but later on, I think it's Nun Dalet Amud Beis, you have different shitos. One says that it cannot live more than 30 days. Another one says it can't live more than 12 months. Exactly. One says 2 to 3 years. It's a machlokes. How long, when we say that it cannot live, we don't mean that it's going to die on the spur of the moment. We just mean it's not going to have a longevity. But Mitchum will get to that in the Gemara. Now, for those of you that would like to just do a quick cheshbon, how do you get to 18? It's not crucial at this moment, but we're going to have this later on in the Gemara. So, once you can follow along in the Mishnah, the Kuvis Aveshet is 1, Sukkas HaGageris is 2, Nikav Krum Shel Moyach is 3, Nikav HaLev is 4, Nishbra HaShedra is 5, Nitel HaKoveit is 6, Oich is 6, Horeya Shenikva Oisha Chosra is 7. Nikva is 7. Chosra is 8. Then we have Machlix Rav Shimon. We get up to now Keva. Nikva Keva is 9. Nikva Hamora is 10. Nikva Hadakin is 11. Hakeris is 12. Nikra Roiv Hachitsoina is 13. Then we have Skip Reb Yehuda. Now we get Hemsis and Besakoisis are 14 and 15. Nofilim and Agag is 16, Nishtaba Reif Taliseo is 17, Drusas as the Eiv is 18, so we have 18 all together. Zok Yetzigmar, Omer Bshimon Lakish. We started off that Eilu Treifas Babahema. Bshimon Lakish asked a question which on the surface is amazing. Remez le Treifa min Atoyri Minayin. Where do we find Epsa? Remez to Treifa. Freitimar Minayin, where there's a Remez. It's a pasuk. Uvaser v'asada treifa lo yisoy chaylu. Shteitach the word treifa. You ask him, "Apsa remes shteitach." El remes le treifish ena chayim in a toyer minayin. Diktoni sefer. We finished off the Mishnah. Zehakal kosha in kumoya chaya is a treifa. Mechlal. Obviously, what the Mishnah is coming to tell you is that the common denominator of all of the 18 is treifa ein achaya. That's the lashon of Mishnah. Kosh einam kmo yachaya. The question is, minolan, where did you take this from? That is the definition of a treifa, that it's ein achaya. Tachsiv al shtein posik, poshik in parashas shmini, where it lists all of the kosher and non-kosher animals and birds and fish and reptiles, etc. It says in the pasuk, "V'zoyis chaya asher toichlu." This is the chaya asher toichlu, and the pasuk continues, "Mikola behema asher alo aret." Now, by the fact that it says "v'zoyis chaya asher toichlu," though the word chaya in context of the pasuk is referring to a wild beast, but nevertheless, the Gemara Chesky, put yourself on mute. "V'zoyis chaya asher toichlu." This is the chaya that you're allowed to eat, says the Gemara. Chaya achoyel she'ena chaya loy teichel. By the fact that the Torah uses this expression, "Zois achaya she'teichlu," after all, the pasuk continues on, "Mikol ha'behema shel oretz." It could have simply said, "Zois ha'behema she'teichlu." What's zois achaya she'teichlu? Mikol ha'behema. It's coming to tell you that some behemoths are chaya, will live, and some behemoths will not live, and therefore that's the kavod of the pasuk. "Zois achaya she'teichlu." Those that are going to live, teichlu, eat them. But there are chayas that you cannot eat because they're not going to live. Chaya achoyel. Those that will live, avad eat. She'ena chay, but those that cannot live because they have.
Please.
I'm sorry. Thank you. But those that, unfortunately, she'ena chay, that will not live, loy teichel, and that's the definition of the treifa. Machlal, the treifa lechay, that's the definition of a treifa. A chaya asher lo yisoichlu, because it won't live. Bring to malamandi yama treifa chayim in olam. What about the other mandi yama that holds treifa is chaya? And that's the Gemara in Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, where you have multiple mandi umrim. One says that a treifa can live 30 days, one says for 12 months, and one says for 2 years. So, but the one that holds for 2 to 3 years, l'choira holds that a behema treifa is chaya, because after all, behemoths don't have and a life expectancy of 120 years, or even of 70 or 80 years, a behemoth lives, depending on whether it's a daka or whether it's a gasa. It lives for 10 years, lives for 20 years, etc. So the fact that you're saying that this behemoth can live 2 or 3 years, that tells you that treifa chaya, that even with this imperfection of one of these nikovim or psuka, one of the 18 that we enumerated, the behemoth can continue to survive and to live. So Oibazoi, according to him, how do you know that the halacha is that treifa is treif by animals? Because I see that it's treifa, but it continues with it. It has a hole in the head, in the krum shel moyach, it has a hole in the kavod, it has a hole in that, the kavod, in the hole in the simpoinis, in the reya, and in the chalal of the lev, etc. It can live, so what's the problem? But nevertheless, you tell me it's treifa, and I'll eat it. The dozvel di gemar yetzvis. Zog di gemar v'idach v'hatlin yetzvis. How does he know the halacha of treifa, that there are 18 treifas altogether, and that makes the animal non-kosher? So the previous mandiyama said, I learned it from the fact that some chayas can live, and then there are chayas that cannot live. Those that can live, toichlu, you can eat. Those chayas that cannot live, don't eat. But you're telling me now, according to mandiyama, the whole treifa chay, it can live. So maybe treif is mutter lecha. Why do you say that it's also lech? Says Yimara, nafkalim mi zois achaya she'teichlu. From the word zois. Zois means this one. Yes. Please. And therefore what we're saying is, zois achaya achoyl, chaya cheres loy teicho. There are two types of chayos. Chayos means not only beast, animal, but also two types of chios, two types of life. There are some animals that have life. Achoyl, you can go and eat them. And then there are other chayas that unfortunately have such a shvacha chiyos, even though they can live 2 or 3 years or longer, loy techo. So that's what the pasuk is telling us. That among the large category of animals that live and can live even for years, 2 or 3 years, and perhaps even longer, zois toichlu. These you can eat. But those others, which are not in the Zois, you're not allowed to eat. And what name do they get? They get the name of a treifa. But they're not enumerated in the Torah. Rashi says, because we learned the specific treifas of the various holes and the various nifsak and drusa and all that from halacha l'moisha misinas. And the first man the Amr, hi Zois my Ovid, like what does he do with the Zois? Because the first man the Amr said, some those chayas which are alive that live. Zois a chayas shetoichu, that you're allowed to go and eat. Mechlal, that others which cannot live, which are not chayas, you're not allowed to eat. However, our Gemara just said now, according to this second man the Amr, that the two types of behemoths which are chayas, chayas that are going to live a full-fledged life, Tochel, Yilal. Then there are other animals which are chai, which still are living and can live for another 2-3 years, but nevertheless you're not allowed to eat. And that's the Zois. But what does the first man the Yama do with that Zois? Zoki my me, but lay me, boy, lay a little kid, Tan Rabbi Shmuel, Tan Rabbi Shmuel. Zois a chai, she toichel, malam, she toffes a kadish boruch, me call minu, min, the herloi la Moshe. He brought it to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the best array that they didn't have the art scroll with the pictures yet, so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know which one is which is the cave and which is the keres, and which one is the hemsis, and which is the basakoisis, and which one is the treifis because of a hole, and this one because it's missing, and this is because of a roiv, and this is because of a tefa. Kadosh Baruch Hu took each one and showed Moshe Rabbeinu, das is this. Now, this, the way I just interpreted now is not exactly what the Gemara means, because the Gemara says, Tavza Kadosh Baruch Hu mikol minu min. In other words, because since the Torah after that enumerates the various chayos, Ayol, Tzvi, V'yachmur, V'dishon, as it's written in the Torah, what is an Ayol, what is a Yachmur, what's a Dishon? Apparently Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't know, so Kadosh Baruch Hu had to go and show Moshe Rabbeinu and say, this is a Yachmur, this is a Dishon, this is an Ayol, and these are kosher, and these are not kosher. V'yomaloi, Zois Achoyol, Tus make men Yoesen, Zois Leitechem, but this is prohibited, these you're not allowed to eat. Now where did we have a similar concept that Moshe Rabbeinu was Niskasha, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu had to go and show him with his finger. And any other suggestions?
Yes. Shekel.
Shekel, yes. Very good. So, if you look at the bottom, Toysis brings all of those together. We're looking for last Toysis over here. But looking at it silently, quietly, okay? I know, I'm also excited. So Zoi Sachaya Malami Shekhtov the Kodesh Baruch Hu come in and min, last Toysis, Bahadle Choshevle Bakim Mitzrabe, back in Menoches. He had over there a list of three. Kabishloisha Dvorim Shiniskasha Moshe. The Menoira, Rashi brings that in Chumash. Rosh Chodesh, when exactly is the Vana, what size, what angle, etc. Ushratzim, what are the Shemoyne Shratzim? Even today, we don't know exactly what the Shemoyne Shratzim are. We have various definitions and various contemplated suggestions, but nobody knows for sure which are the Shratzim. They say the Lito'a, the Torah puts it Halto, Lito'a, is a lizard, and then one of them they say is a snail, and one of them they say an achor is a mouse or a rat. Yeah, okay, we don't know 100%, but that's the assumption. Those are the kind of the traditions. So Zokti Morris, so why didn't it list over there in Menachos Moshe Chachin Kasha Moshe Menoyer Rishchoynish Ratzim and also all the various chayes? It's also missing another one. It says in the Medrash, "Kibin Matbeya Shel Eish, Hera Kadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe." Dichsiv Zayitnu. We have to go and show them the Matbeya. So Oy Bazoi, why doesn't it list that as well in the three? Don't just say three. Niskasha Moshe five. Noira Reish Chodesh Shiratzim the Machzeh Shekel and the various Chayis which are kosher now. Kosher says Toisu Shemalei Choshev El Amidah the Niskasha. Because the Lashon over there was Niskasha Moshe. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, like he raised his hand before Kavi Yochel and Moshe, I don't understand exactly the Menorah. I really can't get my handle around all those Gevim and the Kafta Referah, the Kaftoidim, the Brachim. It's just too difficult for me. And or Rish Chodesh, you have to show me exactly how the moon is tilted and how large and how small and which direction. Yeah, and the Shratzim, which of the Shratzim? Yeah. So those were talking Niskasha. I'm sorry?
What was the Kasha?
Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. Avalhani, these others, Afal Bishareyu, even though Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him the Chayis, and he showed him the Shekel, lo Niskasha behen, not that he had difficulties, Ela Shetoma Ledovar, he just wanted to know exactly. Now, you asked about Machzeh Shekel. Mayuchal Odom Litein Koifer Nafshoi. What can a person give to get the Koifer Nefesh? In other words, which of the matbeyos? After all, there are many matbeyos. You have the start of the shekel, and you have the dinner, and you have the ma'a, and you have the punjoin, and you have the iser, and you have the pruta. I mean this coin, I don't mean any other coin, even though it doesn't have Trump's face on it yet, but this is the coin that we want. And here in our Gemara, to Haris Israel, Azias or Azim Mutaris. You can clearly identify these are kosher animals, these are non-kosher animals, etc. So that was the purpose of Kadosh Baruch Hu showing the various things. So now Brother Shai asked, Matbeah is not so difficult. Well, the Parshat Pshat is which Matbeah. But the Mefarshim say that Al Pi Drush, if you will, that what Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him was a Matbeah Shel Eish. That when you do a mitzvah, like giving money, whether you're giving it for tzedakah, you're giving it for the mishkan, or any mitzvah, you have to do a mitafaya. Don't give it kaltahait with a careerus, with, what does it say, by molek, asher koruch baderech. It tried to go and cool off your enthusiasm to go and serve Hashem, to do mitzvahs. It's got to be a haisa mitzvah, matbeah shel eish. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Zog Gemara, right, so this was Tan Rabbi Shmuel, that's the Zois. Zois achol v'zois loyachol.
Didn't Hashem also show Moshe how to do shechita? Isn't there another drasha that the method of shechita Hashem showed Moshe?
That's probably one of the many cases of the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim. That how do we know? It doesn't say in the Torah exactly what the shechita is. How you
have
five different traits. Not traits. It's the five things that makes them so available.
The shechita. What kind of coin you?
Okay, so we're done with the kofin.
Yeah.
So he's talking about hilchos shechita now. Hilchos shechita, we have the shechita and the gorus and the
grama,
etc. All five. Anyway, so those two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. Taught him Gans Masechtas Chulin and the whole Shas and Kol HaTorah Kula. However, there he didn't have to specifically show him, he was able to explain it to him, and apparently Moshe Rabbeinu understood sufficiently that he didn't have to show it via dime with the finger, with the hand, etc. Anyway, back to our Gemara, the Idach Nami Beboy Levi Ton Rabbi Shmuel, doesn't he need the Zois to teach us that he showed Moshe Rabbeinu each individual animal, Yon, Ish? Zoi Bazoi, how does he know about Treifa Chayim, from another Tanur Rabbi Shmuel. It says at the end of Parsha Shmini, Lehavdil bein hatomei uvein hatohir uvein achay hanecheles uvein achay asher loisei ocher. What does this mean? The chay asher loisei. If it's a chay, if it's alive and kicking and it's surviving and blossoming and flourishing, why shall I see Ochel? That is the 18 that we've been talking about, that the Pasuk says very briefly, Chaya shall I see Ochel, even though Treifa Chaya, according to this Mandi Amar, Kodesh Bok said, Lo see Ochel, you're not allowed to eat from it because it has the name Treifa. So with this, we have gone through the Drosha. How do we know Treifa Chaya, Treifa Eina Chaya? And these psukim. But now the Braisa of Tan Rabbi Shmuel just revealed to us that there are 18 treifas. The Gemara assumes that the 18 treifas that Rabbi Shmuel is referring to are the same 18 that we have in our Mishnah, which we just listed and which we count. But as you'll see in the Gemara in the Amud Beis, lav dafka. There might be certain treifas Rabbi Shmuel holds our treifas, and our Mishnah does not, or vice versa. We'll see, exactly. Frank Dimara, the Suleka, there are only 18. I can give you 8 more.
Exactly.
Sorry, not 8 more. 11 more. For Ika Basgar and Shev Shmaitze. Basgar, as we'll see in the Amud Beis, is Rosh HaTevis. It's a simon, a mnemonic for 4 separate treifos, which are brought in the Braisois. Shev Shmaitze are 7 additional treifos of the Amiroim. That's why you refer to Shmaitze, because Shmaitze means it's not a Mishnah, it's not a Braisa, but the Amiroim added 7 more. So we have Basgar, which is 4 more. We'll see what Basgar stands for in a moment. And then another 7. So the question is, why do you say the only 18? We have another 11 in addition to that. So now on to the Amud Beis. Vishloim letani didon, detona tona. Udishayir Asya Bizehakla. as you saw, we listed 18, but at the very end of the Mishnah, it said, Zehaklal, this is the general rule. Whenever you have a Zehaklal, the Gemara always asks, Asuyemai, what does it come to include? Oh, said it comes to include those other four, and perhaps even the seven, although it's only the Amayroim that revealed and disclosed them, but maybe that Zehaklal includes everything. Is Mishlam the Tana Didan, the Tana, those that he listed, Udishai, those that he didn't list, Asim Zehaklal, that's the intention of Zehaklal, that there are others which we didn't go into the details. And the Tana Rishmal, the Amr Yudhas Trafis of Suleka, he only says 18, he doesn't say a Zehaklal. Break the Mora.
And the Yotzim in a club.
Yeah, the Yotzim in a club, yeah. Break the Mora, but Ika, don't we have the Basgar? Now, what is the Basgar? Beis of Basgar stands for Behema. Remember, Bill spoke about this briefly on the Amud Aleph. Bill was referring to a broken leg. Here we're talking about Nebuch, an amputated leg of the animal. Rashi points out that whenever we talk about Yad v'regel in the animal, Yad doesn't mean that a behemah has a hand, but it means the four legs, and the regel means the back legs. Right, exactly. Front and the back.
Yad is the four.
Okay. So now, if you have a behemoth that one of the back legs is cut off, severed, amputated, min arkuva ulamala, arkuva is referring to one of the joints in the legs. This happens to be a grosa machloikis, which joint are we talking about? Are we talking about what we would call the knee joint, or is it referring to
the
ankle joint? Exactly. The animals don't have exactly knees and ankles like human beings have, but they do have higher up joints and lower joints. So there's a machloikis exactly what arkuva means in this situation when we say that it's severed. Severed just on the bottom, or severed higher up on the leg. But that's the base, and that is treifa. How come that is not listed in our Mishnah? Or our Mishnah is keferla, because the Zeaklal comes to be lasuye in this case. But what about Tan Rabbi Shmuel? The Chariah have case number 19. Everything more assembly Rabbi Shimon Elazar Yom Yecholihi lich voice the lich yois. Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds that this animal can survive. Lich voice in fancy English is to cauterize. In other words, you take some sort of fire and that you put it stops the bleeding.
Rabbi Shmuel Ben
Eliezer. We have a machlokes. So you can go and cauterize the joint where Nebuchadnezzar's been amputated, and after cauterizing Lichitz, it can go and survive, it can go and live. Now the Gemara leaves out one key word by this Rabbi Shimon Elazar, which the Gemara is going to bring in another couple of lines, but Rashi already brings it here, that although the Tanakhama of that Braisa, the Behemish and Nechtuk Ragleh Menakuvah Lamala, Treifa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Machshir. Why? Because Yechoy Lehi Lichvois Velichyos. So the Gemara leaves out the word Machshir, that he says that it's kosher, and just leaves these Yechoy Lichvois. You'll see in the Gemara in a moment why that's so important. Zok the Gemara, Afagav Yechoy Lichvois Velichyos. What's the story? Zok the Gemara, Leman Ka'omar, who is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar addressing the Tanur Rabbi Shmuel? Tanur Mishmal Treifa Chayes Virale. He holds that a Treifa can live. And therefore, so now the question is, what does the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hope? But the Gemara is saying at this point is that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar disagrees. Another 15 minutes, he'll tell us all.
No, I have to go there to be the meeting.
Okay, you can go ready right now if you want.
No, I don't want to.
Okay, there's a rabbi there. You can.
No, he don't call me.
Okay, he didn't call. Good. And he calls you? Good. So getting back to our Gemara. So we have a machlokes about the Beis of Basgar.
Your grandson wants to see you.
Whether it's treif or not. The Gemara assumed until now it's treif. If it's treif, then I have a 19th treifa. Why does Tan Rabbi Shmuel only say that there are 18? And we're assuming that the 18 of Tan Rabbi Shmuel are identical to the 18 of our Mishnah. It's not a kasha why our Mishnah doesn't list it, because our Mishnah says Zehaklal, and we left out a couple.
But why did Tanur Mishmol listen and say that we have 19? Says the Gemara, because Tanur Mishmol holds like Reb Shimon ben Elazar. What does Shimon ben Elazar hold? The Gemara holds, Reb Shimon ben Elazar holds that it's kosher, that it's not a treif. No, it's not a treif, that's why it doesn't list it. Why is it not a treif? Because of the fact, Yochel Lechvoy Tzvichyos. But the Gemara is not happy with that teretz, because the Gemara says, after all of this discussion is regarding the brayse of Tanur Reb Shimon, where he lists the 18 and leaves out the 19. The fact that Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that this can be cauterized and therefore it can live, that's not an issue like Tanur Reb Shimon. That doesn't define it as not being a treifa, because Tanur Reb Shimon holds treifa is a chayas viralei. So it could be, says the Gemara, Reb Shimon ben Elazar agrees with the Tanakama, the behemish shenechtu k'ragleha is a treifa, and he's just saying, but don't expect that you have to call the animal chevra kadisha in 5 minutes, it's going to die, but rather, it could still live for another year or two or three, because you have a remedy. You can go, you can't do, by putting on just a bandage, that's not going to do it. Maybe if you went, Mindy, what is that called when you tie it in this? A tourniquet. Maybe if they had tourniquets, but Yom Mahim, maybe that would help. But he says, well, I have another Eitzah. My Eitzah is I can go and cauterize it. So therefore, Trefa Chaya. So that doesn't take away from listing it as number 19. This is Taka Trefa. And Reb Shimon loves this. Oh, by the way, you can Chaya, you can live. Zokti Yimara. So Ibazoi, why didn't we list it as number 19? Elisamalak Reb Shimon Elazar, the Amek Sheirahi. Ah. We left out that key word. If we just say it could be that Reb Shimon Elazar agrees to all of us and to Tanur Reb Shimon that it's a treifa, but treifa chaya, it's not going to die imminently. It can live for another couple of years through this eighth of the cauterization. So therefore, we don't have a teretz to our kasha. It's a treifa, and it should have been listed. Ah, it's chaya, treifa chaya, Tanur Reb Shimon. And for the Gemara, Reb Shimon Elazar didn't merely say Yecholi Lichvayz V'Yichyayz. He said Reb Shimon Ben Elazar Machshir. Why is he Machshir? Because it's Yecholi Lichvayz. Once we have the word Machshir, that means it's not a trait. It's kosher. Ah, so why wasn't it listed? Says he Mark, and Rabbi Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon Elazar that it's Taka kosher. Not a trait for Chaya situation, but it's a kosher situation. Therefore, it's not listed. Okay, so we took care of the Beis of Basker. Now let's go to the Samach of Basker. The Samach is Vo'ika Chisarin B'Shedra. That's the Samach of the word Chisar. What happens if part of the Shedra is missing? Before we spoke on the Omer Aleph that the Shedra was cut. And we said if it's cut more than Roif and Nifsak, the cord is cut, then it's a treif. Here we're not talking about it was cut, we're talking about it's missing. What is it missing? It's missing vertebrae. Vertebrae are the parts on the shedra from which the tzlois, from which the ribs extend. Now, how many vertebrae are we talking about? Is a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and this machloikis is both by a human being and lahavdul by an animal. Did not we learned in a Mishnah in Mesechtis Oyholois, that what happens if you have kama chisorim b'shedra? What happens if you have a human being that unfortunately is dead and is lying inside an oyhel? Normally you have tumas oil. However, if the body is not complete, in this case the shedra is not complete, then it would not be metame ba'oil, it only be metame b'maga u'b'masa. The question is, how much is that chisorn that it's missing? Could it be shamai? It has to be missing two chulios, two vertebrae. Then I would go and say that there is no tumas oil. Beisul omrim, it only has to be missing chuliachas. Once it's missing one vertebrae, bum.
There was an infection went in,
and caused one of them to dissolve and to fall until it just came out. When the animal defecated, it came out together with that defecation, with its soya. So it's missing nebuch chulia. Here we're not talking about a person, an animal. So far, just talking about a person. So a person got infected, and Nebuch, he's missing one of the chulios according to Beis Hillel, or he's missing two according to Beis Shammai. Anyway, so that's the Gabi Tumas. Sorry, Omer Yudah Mishul, Chayin the Treifa, the same thing applies to a Treifa by an animal. According to Beis Shammai, if an animal is missing two chulios, then it's a Treifa.
But so it's basil, if it's missing one, it's a treif.
So this is the kula based.
Chumra nakula, correct.
Flesh.
Anyway, so this is numbers, the samach, and this is number two. How come that's missing in our Mishnah or in front of Rabbi Shmuel? Anthony Mark. Hemsa the Beis HaKoyses, the Kochashis, Lehu Betarti, Choshvinu Bechota. When we went through the list of the 18, we put Hemsis and Beis HaKoyses where there's a hole in the Chitzoin. We said that that is two separate traces, one of the Hemsis, one of the Beis HaKoyses. I have a good idea. Merge the two together, consider it to be just one traifa. Whether or not you have a hole in the Hemsis or the Beis HaKoyses, that's one traifa. Now that I've saved one, go and take out one and add one. In other words, to the list of Tanur Rabbi Shmuel, assuming that the list of Tanur Rabbi Shmuel is identical to the list of our Mishnah, don't count Beis HaKoyses and Hemsis holds as two separate traifas, count that as one. And then throw in another one. Which one? The Chisorein Mishadra, that it's missing one or two of the vertebrae.
So we're saying a hole in the Beis HaKoyses not facing the Hemsis, or a hole in the Hemsis not facing the Beis HaKoyses, each of those is a treifa.
Right.
We're counting it as one
category
of
treifa. Okay,
thank you.
Very good. Ika gluda. This is now the gimel of the basger. What says a gluda? Rashi says that the animal is missing large parts of its hot. Hot means the outside skin, the hide. Obviously, this is not a healthy situation. But does that deem the animal to now be a treifa? Says the Gemara, yes, basger. That's the gimel of basger. So why isn't that listed in the Tanur Rabbi Shmuel? So Rabbi in fact disagrees, and he holds that gluda is kosher. Since it's kosher, that's why he didn't list it. What about charusa? Charusa is now the final. That's the resh. We had basger, the behema, samach hisorai. The gimel was gluda, and the resh is the resh of charusa. Now, what does charusa mean? Charusa means that if you were to go to a, like many of the tall palm trees that you see in Florida, top of the palm trees, you have lulavim. Those are lulavi dekel, the lulavim that come from the palm trees. Also very high up, you also have dates, if it's a date palm. Okay, so now those tough parts of the dekel tree, if you don't remove the lulavim at the top, and use them for sukkahs, and you leave them there, then eventually they get very, very hard. And in Eretz Yisrael, particularly in Yishalayim, many people use them for schach on top of their sukkahs. So those are called charoyis. Charoyis means, in this case, very, very hard and stiff leaves of the palm tree. What does it have to do with us? Obviously, palm trees don't have a shayla of tarfis. We're talking about tarfis by a behema. So Rashi says, what happens if the lungs of an animal get very, very, very hard and very stiff?
Static.
Yeah, so then that is also considered to be a treif. That being the case, for Eitimura, it's missing in Tanur Rabbi Shmuel. It shouldn't just be 18. We should add Charusa's number 19. Eitimura, I'll tell you the answer. Mora man ketanila. In our Mishnah, it says Mora. Mora, remember, we said that's a gallbladder. There's a hole in the Mora. Man kitani lo, who's the one that holds that having a hole in the gallbladder is a simen tarfis by the hema? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, apik mora va'ayil charusa. In other words, there's a machloikis whether mora, a hole in the mora, whether that is a treifa or not. Says the mora, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda holds that charusa is a treifa, but mora is not a treifa. So therefore, make a switch, take out the mora, and put in a charusa instead. We don't have to do the surgery by us on daf beis. Those are going to remain all intact, because anything which is missing, just throw into the zehakla. It's just in the Tanurei Shmuel's list, which the Gemara did not reveal, but which assume are the exact same thing as the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, change your assumption, take out the mora tarfis, and throw in the charusa tarfis. Why? Because it goes according to Yosef Yehuda that holds it. Nekev in the Mora is kosher, and it's not a tarfus.
It's interesting because people can have their gallbladder removed and live for many, many decades. That's, I don't know, it should be animals too. Exactly. But a hole in the gallbladder should be, you know, more cow than removing the entire gallbladder.
One would think so.
Yeah, but I don't know.
You're going to have the Gemara shortly that's not necessarily
okay.
The case.
Okay.
We're going to have that shortly. But in the meantime, we're assuming that the Braisa of Tanri Shmuel goes like that. Mandi Yomar, because that Mandi Yomar, he doesn't hold the Mora, but he does hold the Charusa, so therefore it's an even exchange, and we have 18, and everything is great. Frank Timora, he took care of the four of the basket. What about the Shev Shmait? So those additional seven of the Amoiroim. And now the Gemara goes, in almost lightning speed, goes through the seven. Yom Rav Masna, number one, Haibuka the Atma de Shof Miduchte Trefa. Buka the Atma means the ball that you find in the socket that is the connecting link between the hip bone and the thigh bone. The thigh and the hip join at a joint, that's why it's called a joint. And in that joint, there is a ball, and that ball is called the Buka de Atma. If that ball falls out, Shaf Miduchte, it falls out of its space from that joint, Treifa. That's number one. I have number two. Loksa bikulia achas trefa. Kulia is one of two kloyois. Kloyois are the kidneys. If one of the kidneys has a leakoy, it has some sort of infection in it, it's damaged, trefa. That's number two. Three. Utana nitl hat choil. Choil is the spleen, is kosher. If the spleen is missing totally, kosher. Like you were talking about before, you mentioned before the bladder, here we're talking about the spleen. The Omer of Aviru Mishmei Derav Leshon El Nitzel. If it's missing, it's kosher. Avonike, it's treifa. This is what you were talking
about
before.
The right.
Okay, I don't know.
Is the reverse of the liver?
It's
the reverse of the liver.
The liver is missing.
We left said the liver is, if it's missing, the whole thing is missing, it's treifa. If some of it is missing, it can go and regenerate and rejuvenate.
That's true, people
and
too.
And that can go and get healthy again. Here we're talking about the spleen. If it's totally missing, it's kosher. But if there's a nekev in it, it's treifa. What's the svara? Presumably the nekev means that there's some sort of infection, and that infection can spread from the tchoil to the kloyus and to the lame and to the rei and to the whole body. Right? There's what's appendicitis? You have an appendix.
Right.
Nobody even thinks about his appendix the entire life until Kasushon gets appendicitis. If it gets infected, and if they find it immediately, you're fine. But if they don't find it immediately, the whole appendix can open up, and all the schmutz goes through the whole body. And Kasushon, the person can die from septic
disease. To emphasize, if you have to check the lung, the reol, they always emphasize because
100%.
Yeah.
They need you.
What's this?
We're going to miss you, but they need you.
I miss you. I love you.
Zagis, Shatz Lucharab.
Bye-bye. The spleen is it's an organ, it's separate. It's not the pancreas.
Look, please close the door. Close the door. Okay, thank you.
The spleen is a separate organ from the pancreas.
Baruch Hashem, and the pancreas throw them in the oil of my door. Okay.
Pancreas is a separate organ.
Yeah, listen, they're different one. The pancreas is different. We got a whole parrot, don't worry. We're going to get through the anatomy. Anyways, so getting back to our Gemara. So Zukti Gemara, yes, how many do we have so far? We started off with Buka da Atma was one. Muka is missing from its hip joint.
Right,
number two, we had the Kulia, that the Kulia never got infected. That's one of the two kidneys, that's two. Then we had Nitl HaTchoil, we're missing the Tchoil, that's kosher. But if Nikev in the spleen, that's straight, so that's three. Verma B'chana Omer Shmuel, Simonim Shenedal Gluberuban is straight. Simonim is referring to the two pipes that we always spoke about in the neck area, the trachea and the esophagus, the kona and the veshit. If nadaldu means they become dislodged, beruban, al pi roiv of the simonim, the dislodged. In other words, they're still in the jaw, still in the cheekbone or whatever of the animal, but they're no longer in place, they're moving around, roiv. That's trefa number four. Now, the Umrah of Bashil, Umrah of Masma Shmuel, he gives us three more. What are the next three? Nekret Salem Eikara, Trefa. Gugolish Nech Besa Beruba is a Trefa. The Kosher Ubasar Hachifis Reva Keres Beruba is a Trefa. That's three more. One of those three more. Nekret Salem, we spoke about in the Mishnah a Tzela that was broken. And there we said, Roiv Tzelois are broken. And we discussed one side, both sides. That was one form of taf. Here we're talking about that the tzela that was broken, but it was lifted, it was detached, me'ikara, from its spot on the spine. The tzela'is are attached to the vertebrae are on the spine. If one tzela gets detached, treifa, no good.
Gulgoilis shenachbas abaruba. Gulgoilis means that the head of the animal was, he was, the animal was sleeping, and then a large elephant comes and puts and steps on the head of that animal. Nechbasa means that it was crushed. Baruba, if roiv of the head was crushed, it's a treifa. Ubasa chlifes roiv hakeres berubai treifa. You have basar flesh that is covering over roiv hakeres, and that is, Rashi says, a krum av. It's a very thick membrane. If that one gets damaged, then that also is a treifa in the animal. What is the amount of the damage on the basar that is covering over roiv hakeres that gets damaged? Berubai roiv of that got damaged. That's a treifa. So we have altogether seven additional ones. That's the Shev Shemaitza, the seven Amiroyim listed tarfas. Question is, that our Mishnah doesn't say it's that Zehakla. But why didn't then Rabbi Shmuel list it and make 25 instead of just 18? Amvet the Gemara, Nekuve Tamanyahav, Chojvinu Bechad, Apik Shev, the Isle Shev. If you go through our Mishnah, and again, the assumption is that Rabbi Shmuel has the same list. There are eight nekuvos all together. Eight times at a nekiv. You have a nekiv in the veshet, and a nekiv
in the reya,
in the reya, and in the dakin, and in the keres, and in the leif, etc., etc. Now, truth. So what is Gemara answering? Take the eight, and therefore just
into one big category.
One category of nekuvos. Those that have holes, they're all holy. Holy cow, they're all crazy. So therefore, don't count them as eight, count them as one. So now we have space for seven. So put in these seven, the Shev Shmaitz. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you actually count up all in the Kuvais and the Mishnah, you really get to 10. You don't get to 8. So why does Gemara say there are 8? Because we've already done a little bit of surgery. What type of surgery? Number one, we said the hemsis and basakoisis, which are benekid, we counted as one.
Right.
So we've already taken off one of the nekuvos, that's why it goes down to 9. And since we said that the Mishnah or the Brice is going to contribute from Yehuda, that takes out Mora is the gallbladder, that's one of them that we said it's also Nikev Hamora. So that we've taken out as well. We replaced the Mora, remember, with the Charusa. So bottom line is, the original 10 have gone down to 8. Of the remaining 8, we said that the 8 were going to go and squeeze into category of one nekuva. So we have 7 left. So throw into Tan Rabbi Shmuel these 7 shmaitzes that we just enumerated from the various amirai. Zokti Moravaita, Ihochi, once you're telling me that we're putting together categories of nekuva, Ihochi Psuki Nami, Trei Hava, Choshvinu Bechad, then Botzul Hulchada. What does the Gemara mean? In our Mishnah, we also have 2 psukais. We have the psukas Hagageres, that was at the very beginning, and then on the 3rd, 4th line, Nishbra Hashedah, the Nifsak Hachuchila, that the spinal cord is also Mim Nifsak, Roiv. So you have 2 psukais. So once you're saying all the kuvais are one, then you have to say all psukais are one. So therefore we have now one extra one in the brights of Tanur Rabbi Shmuel, Batzalu Chada, I have one extra. The oil, the Rav Avira Mishmei Derava, Nami Nekuvihi, which is Rav Avira Mishmei Derava, in these 7 that we just enumerated, remember when we spoke about the Tchoil, that's the spleen, we said the Mishnah says Nital Tchoil is kosher. The Amar Bavira Mishmei Derava Lishonel Nital Nikev is treifa. Oh, so you can't say I'm adding now 7, because that itself is a Nikev situation. So that would have to merge into the category of the Nekuvos. So now I have 2 extra slots that I have to go and fill in the Brice of Tanur Rabbi Shmuel. Because otherwise there are only 16. How long do you have 16? All the Nekuvos are 1, which includes not only the 8 enumerated ones, but also includes this Rav Avira one, because that's also a Nikev situation, as well as the 2 Psukais we should count as 1. So Timura, you have a good point. We had excluded 2 from our list. Says Rashi, which were the 2? The Beis and the Gimel of the Bazger. How do we take that out? We said the Braisa goes according to that other man, the Yomer, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who said, Machshir, it's kosher with the amputated leg, portion amputated, partial amputation. Why? Because Yochel lichbois v'lichyois, so that was kosher. So we said, oh, leave that one out. And then we said the gluda, that's a machleik between the Rabban and the Rameyer. So we'll hold like Rameyer and leave that one out. So I changed my mind. Put those two back in. Put in the behema of the basger. Put in the gimel, the gluda of the basger. And now we have 18 all together.
We don't have the text of the 18 from Tanakh Mishma. We don't have a text in the
Bible. No, we assume that that is exactly the same as
our text. We're creating the text now, as it were, by stitching all this together.
Exactly.
Effectively.
Right. Effectively. So with this, we've concluded the 18 of our Mishnah, the 18 of Rabbi Shmuel, and the Shev Shmeitz.
Shev Shmeitz is the name of Rechaim Shulev. It's a Sefer, right?
Not Rechaim Shulevich. It's, I believe, Rabbi Shimon Shkop, if I'm not
mistaken.
Okay. You don't have to apologize. But the Maisa, that is a very, very lumbish Sefer, and it's a very difficult Sefer. It's called Shev Shmeitz. You're 100% right. I believe it's split up into seven different chapters. That's right. I would give it the name. The one thing I would just point out is that Rashi says that we took out the gluda and we put it back in. Ramey, remember, was the one that was machshir by gluda, and therefore we said, we thought originally it goes to Ramey. No, it doesn't go to Ramey. But what's interesting is that on Daf Nun Hey Amid Beis, the Gemara discusses gluda. If you go to Nun Hey Amid Beis, just past halfway down the Amud, you'll see it says at the end of the line, Hagluda, Tan Rabban Hagluda Rameir, Machshir v'chom poistim. So the Gemara initially said, Amisha goes to Rameir, that Gluda is kosher, that's why we didn't enumerate it. And then the Gemara said, no, I'm Sefeltner, I'm missing one of the 18, throw back the Gluda to Loik Rameir. But the interesting thing is that the Gemara continues on, skip a line. Abshemin Elazar, Chozabai Rameir, Rameir himself changed his mind, and he held that Gluda, in fact, is not kosher, it's a treifa. So although no, the Gemara doesn't go and disclose it here, and even Rashi doesn't say anything, but what the Gemara is telling us is, you thought we should leave out Gluda because Reb Meir holds it's kosher. Even Reb Meir himself changed his mind. So therefore it is a treifa. So you have to put Gluda back, and that will be number 18, because we are missing one from the cheshbon of the 18. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Hatzlacha, zayis, and be well. Bye-bye.